or put it, get switched on and... Well, good morning. Good to be with you again this morning. I thought that Tom would be talking something about Father's Day, and the Lord definitely has laid these thoughts that I'm going to share with you this morning on my heart over the past few weeks, in actual fact, as I've been thinking about coming here and to speak. So, as you can see from our reading, that's where my thoughts are around the hope that's ours as Christians. I really struggle to think about how people who don't know the Lord Jesus as their own Saviour and have a hope, how they cope in these days in which we're living. We keep being told on our news, don't we, that this country is broken. Indeed, the world is broken. And I never thought I would ever live to see the day when we were things were as they are now. But there we are. We do not know. We're told that we don't know the times or the seasons. Only the Father knows that. So my title this morning is A Certain Hope in a Time of Uncertainty. We're thinking about the coming of the Lord. It's been my privilege, it is a privilege I think, to go and pay respect to friends and people that we, perhaps not close friends, but we've been associated with over the years when the Lord has called them home. And it's always good to know when you go to the funeral or Thanksgiving service of someone who, as you know, has been a Christian for a long time, or perhaps not even a long time, but certainly they are born-again believers, and we know that we're going to miss them, but they're in a better place, especially if they've been ill and that. So that's been mine and Jean's experience over the past probably, I suppose, a month, 6 weeks. And certainly at one of the Thanksgiving services, this portion we've read this morning was the subject of one of them. And thinking back, as I've been thinking this week about what I was going to speak about, I know that I've spoken on this portion of God's Word on numerous occasions when I've been taking funeral services when I was back in Kent as one of the elders at the assembly there. And so it's a well-known portion, and it's a wonderful portion of God's Word. It's one of my favourite portions. I remember as a young man saying that, I think one of the first times I was preaching, and I was taken to task by an elder who was not a particularly friendly sort of individual. And he said to me after, he said, well, that wasn't bad, he said, but you said one thing, he said, which you shouldn't have said. So I said, what's that? He said, you shouldn't have favourite portions of God's Word, he said. It should all be your favourite. So, but there we are. But I disagree with him, and I know we've all got favourite portions that we mean a lot to us. And so, as I say, this is where I'm coming from this morning, and it has caused me to think quite seriously about these things again. And so, as Christians, we shouldn't really be worried. In fact, the knowledge and the hope that we have should spur us on to pray the final words in Revelation. The last verse of the Bible says, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." And I know that Jean doesn't like me saying things like this and what have you, because obviously it's I'm a happily married man, and I enjoy my days with her. But I must confess that as I get older, and especially since my experience last year going into hospital for that major operation, the thought of going to be with the Lord is not something that worries me. It's something that I actually look forward to. I hope it's not too soon, but in many ways. But on the other hand, if that's the Lord's will for me, well, I'm ready for it, and I trust that that's the case for all of us this morning. So we're constantly being reminded, aren't we, about global warming, scaremongering about the continuing use of fossil fuels, hence the frantic efforts to encourage us to do away with our petrol and diesel engine cars, which I love, and other vehicles, and replace them with electric driven cars and so on. And we're hearing this every day, aren't we, we're approaching the day when we have to put our cross on the paper. And I was listening the other night that Mr. Starmer is not, he's going to bring it forward. So by 2030, I think I'm going to have to get rid of my Audi. And he's got nothing coming, but there we are. And so this is the day in which we are living. And people are indeed concerned about these things and worried about them. It's a familiar scenario. So how do you see the future this morning? Is it with uncertainty, which seems to be the order of the day? Well, I've got good news for you this morning. And, sometimes people would read a portion like we've read together and think, well, that's a bit dramatic. You only read that at funerals and such like. Well, that is obviously not true. And I certainly have got good news this morning. We can be assured, as we've read together, that our futures are and can be in safe hands, God's hands. We've been reminded by Tom that he is our Heavenly Father. And we know that some people struggle with this. I worked with a man who I used to talk about, they used to ask me about my faith and that, and I used to use a term, which I often use, a loving Heavenly Father. And he couldn't understand this concept of a loving father, because he'd had a rough time. His father was not a very nice man, apparently, and I think he in the end left the family. But I suppose if you've got that kind of a background, maybe it is difficult to come to terms with it. But I had a wonderful father, a loving father, and sadly I lost him all too soon, as a boy just approaching 13. And so, Father's Day is something which I can really appreciate, and especially as a Christian, we can do that. And if we've never done it, and I presume that most of us, all of us this morning, have done, but if we've repented of our sins and we've given our lives to Christ, then we are seeking, if we're seeking to live our lives in the light of Proverbs 3 and verses 5 and 6, we're encouraged there by Solomon when he wrote those words, and he said that we should trust the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him and allow him to direct our paths. That's one verse in the NIV, I think, has got wrong. Not wrong, but not so good. The AV gets it right, directing our paths. So that's what we seek to do as Christians, I trust, each day, that we commit our lives to him and we want the Lord to guide us into the things that we should be doing. Well, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13 that we were reading, was read to us today, it takes away all that. Paul opens this section of his epistle with a very positive statement. He doesn't want us to be ignorant about those who have died or gone to be with the Lord, and he doesn't want us to grieve like those who have no faith and therefore no hope. He assured us that our hope is, first of all, a reality. It is a real thing. Sadly, I lost one of my best pals, who I've known for many years. Recently, we went up to Merseyside for his funeral. Indeed, we always used to say that whoever went first, the other one would take the funeral. Well, I was not asked to do his funeral. I'm still here and Ron has gone. But I know that Ron has gone to be with the Lord. And that Thanksgiving service, well, indeed, it was a funeral service because the coffin was in the service. And that Ron has been a faithful servant of the Lord. Indeed, he was a part-time minister in the Independent Methodist circuits. So these things, it's a reality. And if we believe that the Lord Jesus died and was buried on that third day in Joseph's new tomb and rose again on the third day, then we are promised. And I've been thrilled to read in 1 Corinthians 15 over these past few days. And if you haven't read 1 Corinthians 15 for a while, can I suggest that sometime during the week you get your Bible out and you read it, and it will really encourage you in the Christian faith. And Paul is there telling us about, he's telling the Christians, the Corinthian believers, of the resurrection of the dead. And that is because the one who is our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, he rose again on the third day. And it's a wonderful thing to know that the Lord Jesus did rise. And lots of people would try to tell you, well, you know, they've got all sorts of other theories about it. But the Bible, which is the book that we as Christians should believe from cover to cover, is very certain that our head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, has gone to heaven. And he's gone to, remember, he's gone to prepare a place for us. He promised that to his disciples, for each one of us who've put our faith and our trust in him. And not only that, he's promised to return for us and to take us to be with him forever. And we read of that in John 14. Remember, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he told his disciples that he was going away. And remember, there was a long discourse went on where Philip said, well, you know, we don't know about these things. And he says, well, you know, you're going to my Father who's greater than me and so on. And he said, well, show us the Father. And he went on to tell us that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because God is a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, each with their each aspect, and it being a different aspect for us. as Christians. And of course, we've got the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus, before he went away, promised that he would send us the Holy Spirit, who would help us to live our lives. We can't live our Christian lives in our own strength. We need the Holy Spirit 24/7. And I trust that we all do live like that. And so this life is transient, isn't it? Hence, we need to make sure that we are prepared for eternity. I know some people don't like to think about eternity and leaving this life and so on. But I think that if we've got a deep faith, then I think that where's the problem? We know that, you know, 70 years were promised, 80 years. What we've seen, the old boys that old lady, I think she was 104, wasn't she, on D-Day, on the D-Day ones. And, you know, that's a long time by our standards. But when you think, when I think about my age now, and I think about, you know, how things that have gone on in the past, and I realise, well, you know, it was a long time in some ways, and yet in other ways, where have my 80-odd years gone? And, you know, we look forward to what God's left for us. But also, it doesn't finish there, does it? We go on into eternity. We don't understand, really, the concept of eternity, something that goes on forever, but it's true. And God has promised us that if we know him as our Lord and Saviour, then, of course, we're going to live with him for eternity. So, that's one certainty that we've got as Christians. One day we will die, and then we won't need to prepare for the next, because we've prepared down here, and we will then be in the glory, as we say. Paul informs us that we also believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. And that's a very comforting thought, I think. It's a thought I've lived with for, I was thinking about it, 70 years in actual fact, because as I say, I was the eldest of four children, and my young brother, who's 7 years younger than me, we were talking on the telephone some months ago, and he said, well, I don't really remember Dad. And he's asked me to do something, which if I ever get some time, I will put some thoughts down about my life with Dad. I was very close to him, and so on. But, you know, I was when I was doing this message, I said it was 50 years, and then I thought, no, it's a lot longer than that. And it's 70 years since I lost my dad. And it's been a comforting thought to know that that man who was my earthly father was a very fine Christian man, and who did a good job of leading me into, he saw me put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as a boy of 10, and so on. And I had a very godly mother who was a great help. And I thank God for my past and what has gone on, the way in which godly people have been in my life and had an effect upon me. And I hope that I've had in some way the same for others as we've gone on. And so it is that you know, some people have suffered greatly before they've been taken. But whatever God knows all about these things, and whatever the situation, we talk about being absent from the body and present with the Lord. And that's something that we can look forward to one day when it comes. So we who are still alive and awaiting the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede them. So, you know, and it was, Jean's and my privilege, the probably about 2 months ago, I suppose, we were invited to go to Wood Green Church, and Paul, what's his surname? Anyway, sorry?
Paul Mallard.
Paul Mallard, that's right. Great preacher and minister of the word. And there was probably one of the best meetings I've been to in an awful long time. And he spoke, he's writing a book, I can't wait for it to come out. He's writing a book about heaven. And, you know, we've all got questions in our minds about heaven, haven't we? But, you know, that man answered a number of questions that have been in my mind for many years. And the beauty of it was that he had scriptures to for each one to upon which he's based his thoughts. And, you know, it's it made me look forward even more to going to be with those who've gone before. We sometimes wonder whether we will see each other. But, you know, in actual fact, one of the things, and this is just in passing, one of the things that he said was, and it's from the scripture, is that we're not necessarily going to be in heaven. Revelation talks about a new earth, doesn't it? And he put it that obviously when we die, I mean, some people are killed in road accidents and goodness knows what, and we, you know, when we're put into a box, as it were, we're far from the person we were in our youth. But, you know, we're going to have a new body and we're going to be in this new earth. And he explained that, you know, we will see people and we will know each other. And he gave the a definite scripture for that. So that is a reality for us. And what about the reason? Well, he says that the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We read that in Thessalonians 4, verse 16. Paul assures us that we will rise to be with him. Because if there's no resurrection, then Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Our preaching is useless, so is our faith, and we are still in our sins, and we are to be pitied more than all men. We 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 12 to 19. That's a very quick summary of it. And how true that all is. And so we know that that Christ has risen. And therefore, we will rise with him. You know, I remember just before I retired, one of my close colleagues at the university, he said to me one morning, I was just coming up away from a lecture I'd done, and he said to me, he said, you won't be doing too many more of them, will you? So he said, but you'll be doing your preaching, won't you? So I said, yeah. He said, have you ever thought, he said, that what your faith, or that you talk to us about, he said, and you've got so much faith in, he said, and your Bible and so on. He said, have you ever thought, he said, that it might all be a myth? I said, well, I don't believe for one moment that it is a myth. I said, I believe the Bible to be the Word of God, and I said, I believe in God and so on. I said, well, put it this way, Les. I said, if it's all been in vain as far as what I'm believing, I said, I wouldn't have changed my life for the life without the thought of God in it and so on. He said, I suppose it's something in that, he said. But there we are. So Paul, as I say, is informing us that it's only humans who will rise, and if we are to rise, we have to die first. And he uses the analogy of the seed, doesn't it? Seeds are not particularly pretty things, are they? You know, Gene likes to do a little bit with seeds in pots. And, you know, when you empty a packet of seeds, there's nothing special about them. They're just a few bits in there. Clive will know all about this, you know, not packets, but sacks. But, you know, those things are put into the ground, and before long, there's little green shoots come up, and then eventually we get beautiful flowers or lovely corn or barley or whatever. And so it is with the Christian, that we will rise into something beautiful. How's about that? And that's nature. And he uses that analogy of the human body, which is perishable, but when raised by the Lord, it will be imperishable. It's sown in dishonor, it says, but raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but raised in power. And our natural bodies will be raised to a spiritual body. Again, 1 Corinthians 15 again. So can I encourage you to go away from here this morning and read that. And then we've got a reassurance in verse 17. He says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will be with the Lord forever. What a wonderful thought this morning. You know, when we go home and we put the news on, and we hear all about the squabbling that's going on as to who we should vote for and what's going on in Ukraine, as Tom's already prayed this morning, and in Gaza and so on, in other parts of the world. And yet we have that reassurance. And so we have peace with God. The Lord leaves us in no doubt that just as Jesus came some 2,000 years ago to make it possible for us to be redeemed back to God through the forgiveness of our sins, he will return for those who love him and await his return. And Paul says in verse 18, he exhorts us to encourage each other with these words and build each other up. And I hope this morning that after I've finished in a few minutes, that we'll go away feeling that, you know, the things that I've said this morning are real and encourage us in our Christian faith. So, are we ready? This is my last point. Well, this message, as I say, should be an exciting reminder of what lies ahead of us as Christians. However, it can be troublesome news if we're not sure of our relationship with God, and or you've never come to terms with the necessity of making your peace with God. God has done everything necessary for us to come to faith in him and to know for certain that when the time comes for us to depart this life, or if the Lord returns before that, we are exhorted to be alert and self-controlled. We read that in chapter 5 and verse 6. Tom read that to us. So, we're told in the Epistle of Peter that God is patient. And I'm sure that nobody would disagree with that this morning. When we see what's going on in this world, I sometimes... When we're doing our time of devotions, reading the scriptures and so on, I say to Jean, you know, I can't believe how patient God is. You know, I'm looking at how I'm a fairly patient person, but, you know, you get to a point where you think, well, that's enough, enough's enough. And yet, what's going on at the moment? And the devil's having the time of his life in this world of ours. And yet, God is there. But the time will come when God will say, enough's enough. And he'll give the signal to the Lord Jesus Christ to come down for us. And we're told in Peter that God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. and he reminds us that the day of the Lord, we read it as well in Thessalonians, will come as the thief in the night. We don't prepare for a thief to come, do we? I mean, I've never been burgled personally, and I hope it never happens. But I remember my old mum was burgled when we were up there one Christmas New Year. And it's the most horrible thing to do. And it really is disturbing. And that's how it's going to be. That it's going to come. And if we know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour and Lord, then it won't come as a surprise to us. And so, finally, I was reading in Matthew 24 the other day, as most of us probably did who have the daily bread. So I think it was Friday, wasn't it? In Matthew, that no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven or the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he says. Only the Father knows when the Lord Jesus will return for his bride, the church. We read that in Matthew 24 and 36. My final word, are you ready? For myself, I'm looking forward to it, and I hope that you are too. Thank you. Are you going to do the last hymn, Tom?